It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kick start it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, July 27th, 2021, and you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 196 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest video game podcast in the galaxy. I am Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I've got my comrade in gaming commentary here with me, the Miggity 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 Mac, also known as Maction. Yes, you, Mac. Dude, we got some stuff to talk about. How are you, though?
I'm doing well, but before I talk about me, I want to talk to our viewers. A direct line. Our viewers, our listeners, there's a little thing called the Podcast Awards, and this is the last stretch of time to vote for us in People's Choice category, in Games and Hobbies, and in Best Black-Hosted Podcasts. You should go to podcastawards.com. You should, you know, sign up there so that you can vote, and you should vote for us in those three categories, and you should vote for those other awesome podcasts in those other awesome categories, just so long as they're not those three, because those three are ours!
That's us, that's us. Bringing home the
trophy.
Now, as a friendly reminder, we're brought to you by Game Insider. Shout out to them. Returning sponsor. And then also, you guys know I did the Dry Bar Comedy Special a couple years ago. They have a new service called Dry Bar Plus. And if you want to get 30 days of it free, you can use the code LamuWariGaluka, which is my full name. DryBarComedyPlus.com/LamuWariGaluka. And you can get 30 days free. But Mac, let's move on, man. I really want to know, how are you?
I am good. I mean, I have taken some time to really drill down and ask myself, what do I want out of life? What is going on with me? And in that check-in, I decided, you know what? This rural living, this living in the middle of the plains of Nebraska, not for me.
Not for you. Not for you.
On a whim and for no other reason whatsoever, I decided, you know what? I need to get back to my roots. I need to go back to the best coast of the United States. The western United States, if you will. And so I am making the move to Oregon.
Now, you said you are. I assume Mrs. the Mac tagging along?
Yes, you know me. I would never get rid of Mrs. the Mac. So Mrs. the Mac will be coming
awesome.
Along. But it is important to note that this is really a me thing, my idea, my impetus. And I hope you can hear the sarcasm dripping off of everything. It's going to be fantastic and fun. But it's actually my amazing wife who has the connections that are making this whole thing happen. That's just been prep. So there's open boxes everywhere. I've tried to, you know, make things look nice, but all that is in my head right now is just packing and getting ready.
There'll probably be a couple weeks where we don't do this, but we don't know when those will be yet. When we do know, we will let the people know. Mac, I had an awesome conversation today with a neighbor. Like, you ever meet someone and you just assume that they're a gamer?
Yeah, they've got the look. They've got the touch. They've got the power.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, he was wearing the power glove when we had this conversation, and so I couldn't help but assume that he was a gamer. I'm totally kidding about that. But no, like, it's gotten to be more and more where, like, someone's like, I'm a software developer, and I'm like, oh, do you play games? And they're like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm like, well, sorry, I just assume since you're on computers all day that you're into that. But this guy legit is. I don't know what he does for work, but we had a dope conversation. I was walking my kids home from going out to do something. Talk to this guy. He's into Warzone. He's into The Last of Us Part 2. He's into the Sony exclusives. So it was nice to meet another, you know, dad who's into gaming. Because so often people are like, I don't have time for that. I'm 30. I don't play games anymore. So it was cool to have that conversation. I literally stayed out and we chatted for like 20, 25 minutes. As I'm new to the neighborhood and still getting to know people. So I have a feeling I'll be gaming with this guy. It's always good to have some friends who like to game, man.
That is awesome. I mean, I'm glad you're making friends, Mr. Nice Guy. I think it's hard as adults to make new friendships, at least so I'm given to understand. You and I, though, we've never struggled.
And that's the thing is, like, so much of friendships now, it's like, I have Discord, right? And I have the internet. And it's like, I guess if I need someone to play couch co-op, then I need to make friends locally. But other than that, like, I have plenty of friends that I stay in touch with. So I'm not at a loss for friends. But still cool to meet new people, welcome them into the fold. And Mac, on that note, I say we do what we do best and hop right into that gaming news, homie. What do you think about that?
Let's do it. What is going on?
There's so much stuff going on. As Mac would say, what's going on? I can't do it as good as you. But there's a lot to talk about today. Oh, man, I don't even know where to start, Mac. Let's start with, there's a lot of PC stuff. Let's start with one of these PC stories, and this involves Amazon. This is on, let's see, IGN.com, written by Taylor Lyles. There's a lot of updates. We're going to read the original story to start. Multiple reports have emerged that the closed beta for Amazon's MMO New World is reportedly killing NVIDIA RTX 3090 graphics cards. Reports first came to the surface via New World subreddit, where the user Gray178 posted that their EVGA RTX 3090 RTW3 Ultra graphics card was bricked after adjusting their graphics quality in New World. After saving the new graphical setting, the GPU seized up, according to Gray178, who previously said that they were playing Cyberpunk on Ultra settings with the same card before it died. Mac, to summarize this story, some of these cards are going to get replaced. The spokesperson for EVGA has confirmed to PC Gamer that they'll replace every one of its cards that were bricked by Amazon's New World. And like, to me, this is crazy. Don't you think Amazon should maybe step up here and help with this? Or do you think that it's on the company for not making a graphics card that can do graphically things that a game made by Amazon, not a game maker at all, is putting together?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways that it could have gone wrong. Yes, it could be an Amazon fault if, and this is a big if it were some type of a issue in the code that wound up, you know, crashing or destroying these things, then maybe it's on Amazon, right? If it's a hardware issue, then it's definitely on those guys, the manufacturers. Yeah. Do we know for sure where the fault lies and why they bricked?
To me, if EVGA, and this is, there's, as you know, there's different people who make the 3090, right? But if EVGA is willing to step up and say, hey, we're going to replace them, then to me that kind of says that maybe it's their fault and they just haven't, like, come out and said it. But the thing that's crazy about this is there's a shortage of these graphics cards. Like, they're pretty dang hard to find. There's a chip shortage globally. But just even before all of that, these graphics cards were scarce. People were scalping them. You know, people were using bots to buy them, just like the PS5. So how are they able to replace all of these? Maybe like only two people were playing Amazon New World, and that's why. I don't know.
I don't know either. I would have also thought that would notable, but I feel like that's the logistics side of thing comes after the question about fault. And I mean, you know, I hope it's an issue that only affects a very small amount of people and doesn't wind up being widespread. Do we have any idea how many people have been impacted by it?
I was joking when I said two people played it, but here's what the update from the 21st said. This story is a few days old, but came after our last recording. It says hundreds of thousands of people played in the New World closed beta yesterday. With millions of total hours played, we've received a few reports of players using high-performance graphics cards experiencing hardware failure when playing New World. So it says New World makes standard DirectX calls as provided by the Windows API. We have seen no indication of widespread issues with 3090s, either in the beta or during the many months of alpha testing. So Amazon, a spokesperson, said that this is not their fault. Mm-hmm. But that said, they did release an additional patch in response to this. So I don't know, man. It seems to me like maybe there's some fault with the cards, but also with Amazon.
I suppose it could be the perfect storm of bad. I'm going to have to yield to some expert opinion on this. And this is the moment where tech guru Ishmobile comes to the fray and says that bad driver/firmware design, if you're able to kill the card with malicious code. And I suppose that could also apply to non-intentional malicious code. So maybe it is a driver firmware issue, which would also put it squarely in the realm of being on the manufacturer. But I still don't think we have enough data. It would be great if they can get new cards out to those people impacted, though. I mean, that's a real solid, classy move. It's very classy.
Agreed, 100%. So let's keep it in the PC discussion area. Man, so much good PC stuff this week, or interesting PC news, I should say. This next one is on GameSpot.com, written by Jeremy Winslow, and I'm excited to get Ishmobile's thoughts on this and anyone else who's into PC stuff. So due to regulations that recently went into effect, Dell won't ship some of its power-hungry gaming PCs to certain states because of how much energy they require. According to the company's website, via the register, PCs like the Alienware Aurora Ryzen Edition R10 gaming desktop won't ship to California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, sorry Mac, Vermont, or Washington because state standards won't allow them. How many states is that? Seven?
Six, I thought.
Six. Quote, this product cannot be shipped to the states of California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, or Vermont, or Washington due to power consumption regulations adopted by those states, the site states before customization. Any orders placed that are bound for those states will be canceled. California is of particular note as it was the first to approve energy efficiency limits for computers in December 2016. Though the standards didn't take effect until January 1st, 2019, PCs built between then and July 2021 must use no more than 50/80/100 kilowatt hours per year, kWh per year, for expandability scores of less than, I don't even know what these numbers mean, Mac. I'm not even going to read through all these. But is that weird to anyone else besides me?
Well, it's certainly weird to Metzgirl.
Yeah, she's with me. It's totally weird. Like, it's illegal. Is it illegal? Is that what I'm understanding? To use a PC in one of these states that consumes too much power?
I don't know.
Because you could build one. And sorry if I stole your thunder.
You know, you've got a fantastic mind. And for once, I was on the same wavelength as your brilliance. But yeah, I was going to say as well that it's like, hey, you know, you could get all around this if you just, I don't know, build it yourself.
Right. And here's my question for you, though. Like, Isn't power consumption also somewhat based on what you're using the PC for?
Is that where you're going? Yeah. So, yes, if you're doing crypto mining, you're definitely going to do a lot more power draw and a lot more heat output for the crunching of that crypto. But, I don't know. Maybe that's a concern on the one hand. It sounded like, from the article, that they were targeting it particularly for those states that had energy limitations.
Yeah.
And sure, that crypto might be involved with that. I don't know, man. Maybe that is exactly what they're going for.
Right. And that's the thing, is like, it hurts Alienware. I mean, because honestly, California, I'd imagine, with California being kind of a hub for, you know, startups, right? There's a lot of game companies. IGN is based in California. I mean, there's just a lot of people out there who would want to buy a gaming PC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a lot of people out there who would build their own. But regardless, this is definitely not a good thing for Alienware. It just seems like a double standard when you can just build your own. Now, Metzgirl asks, what if you could prove you're on your own grid? That's a very valid question, and I don't know the answer to that. I assume that the rules would still apply.
Yeah, because it sounds like they're not looking into anything more specific than where's your shipping address or your billing address. So maybe I should, you know, have it sent to Utah instead and just bring, or better yet, yeah, just build.
Yeah, just build your own and customize it. Alienware, I mean, let's be honest, they overcharge for... Well, Mac, this is a story that I'm not super excited to talk about, but we would be remiss if we did not. It's one of the biggest stories that's going on right now about Activision Blizzard and the walkout that's coming. I'm just going to report on this because I feel like it would be bad if we didn't, but I don't know if there's any opinions that we really need to give, right? We all agree that discrimination is wrong, right? Like, there's not really any back and forth that needs to happen. So this article is on Kotaku.com by Mike Fahit. Following days of informal protests and announcements of their company's response to the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing lawsuit, Activision Blizzard employees are holding a formal walkout Wednesday, July 28th, which is tomorrow, calling on leadership to improve conditions for women, particularly women of color, transgender women, non-binary people, and other marginalized groups. The protest event, formerly known as the Activision Blizzard Walkout for Equality, will be held tomorrow virtually from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., with a live event staged at the Blizzard campus in Irvine, California, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Like I said, I don't think there's too much to say. I will say that I read the comments from Bobby Kotick, the CEO, and it was like as vanilla as it gets, in my opinion. You know, we don't tolerate this. We're bringing in a third-party law firm to review our policies and da-da-da-da-da. They're going to be removing some references to one of the accused male employees from World of Warcraft. But other than that, I don't have a ton to say. Like, I think diversity is important, and I think equality is important, and I think that it's good that they're standing up for it. Mac, if you have comments, you're welcome.
You know, there was one thing that I saw on Twitter that was pretty much kind of encapsulated it all. It was at a Activision Blizzard thing. It was a few years back. They were talking about the designs of the characters, and one person, she got up and she was, you know, it was the Q&A section, and she was talking to the devs and asked, you know, hey, could maybe the next design not look like they stepped out of a Victoria's Secret catalog? And they all just kind of laughed and said, what catalog would you prefer her to step out of? And then just kind of moved on, you know, made a bunch of jokes and moved on. I was just like, it feels like it's been a long time coming.
Well, we're like right at time, but there's one thing I want to get Mac's opinion on and the opinion on the chat. So we're going to do this in 60 seconds. This is on GameInformer.com. This is by Leanna Rupert. This is about the Steam Deck. It's a list of games that you cannot play on the Steam Deck at release. And I'm just going to read the list of games. Apex Legends, Black Desert Online, DayZ, Dead by Daylight, Destiny 2, Fall Guys, Hunt Showdown, Paladins, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, and Rainbow Six Siege, and Smite. She says, as a dedicated Destiny 2 player myself, that Bungie inclusion hurts a little bit because I smacked down a pre-order as soon as the Steam store finally opened up the floodgates. Now, here's the reason that those games will not be able to be played on the Steam Deck at launch. It's because it's a Linux-based system. Now, while they do have Windows compatibility, it's Linux-based, so those games will not function properly at launch. They may function later. Like, is this a big deal? They basically said that you could do anything on this that a PC could do, and now they're backpedaling. Some of the biggest games are not going to be playable on this thing. Is that a big deal to you or not really?
No, not really. I don't own any copies of those games, and I had no intention to.
Okay, fair. So I will say, I think this is a big deal for those who are into it. Because I think that a lot of people were hoping to get some extra time into these games by being able to do it portably. So hopefully sometime after launch, this will work for these people. And that has been our news for the week.
All right. Well, now we move on to look a little bit into the past with some gaming history. So let's start in the year 2017, right? It would have been this week in 2017 that PC, PS4, and Xbox One all saw a release of a game called Fortnite. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of Fortnite. I'm not the biggest fan of Tencent. I'm not the biggest fan of Epic, you know, Tencent that owns, you know, most of Epic. You know, that's the connection there. But I would be absolutely disingenuous if I did not acknowledge that there are whole huge chunks of what the gaming landscape looks like right now that isn't directly traceable to Fortnite. When people are writing histories about this period in time with respect to video games, Fortnite's going to feature there, and not just for the popularity, but also for the various marketing stints and legal stuff that have been, you know, that have been surrounding Fortnite. So Fortnite, love it or loathe it, it is absolutely a part of video game history in a way that not a lot of other games are. So there you are. In 2009, this week, we also saw the release on the Wii for Wii Sports Resort. And Mr. Nice Guy, I have a question for you.
Sure, what's the question?
As far as sales on the Wii, where would you put it in ranking, in numbered? How would you number it? Was this the best-selling game for the Wii? Was it the 10th best-selling game for the Wii? Or what would you say?
I would guess, because it was bundled with it, right? So I would guess that it's top three.
I know we're not in trivia, but you're 100% right, man. It was number three on the,
yeah,
on the thing.
Yep.
So you probably... Do you or someone you know have Wii Sports Resort sitting in your game library? Please call us today.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. And it's one of those games that, like, here's the thing, dude. This is how the Wii was so successful. Because for, like, people who don't play games, they could get a Wii with that game and they could bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And they could get exercise, you know? And so it was something that really, like, expanded the desire for people to play these types of games. Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Nintendo caught a lot of flack for trying to reach into typically underserved, you know, gaming spheres, to try and reach those people who were on the edges of video gaming. And it worked a treat. Wii Sports Resort, absolutely a good call. Last one. We're going to go back all the way to the late 90s. So, Mr. Nice Guy, clear your mind. Close your eyes. Come on a journey with me. It's the late 90s. And Sega is desperately trying to get ahead in the home console market. Their Sega Saturn was losing against the Nintendo 64, only selling about one-third of the units that Nintendo was pushing from the Saturn. And the PS1 was eating both of their lunches by selling 10 times the amount. You know, over 100 million units. You know, probably, actually by that time, it was probably only like 70 million units. But, you know, still, it was outpacing both of them. So Sega needed something big to try and stay relevant.
Sure.
And they contracted not one, but two different companies to help them design their new console. The console that would become the Dreamcast. These two companies, one in the United States and one in Japan. And it was this fateful week in 1997 that Sega opted to go for the silicon chips produced by the Japanese company NEC and left 3DFX Interactive out to dry. The company actually wouldn't wind up lasting that much longer because they went bankrupt in 2000, is when they filed for bankruptcy. But it was a very interesting thing because in 97, it probably wouldn't have been till about 98 when it really got off the ground, maybe late 97, maybe December, that there was actually a lawsuit that 3DFX Interactive started to try and compel Sega to what they thought was treat them, you know, equally with the other, give them equal consideration. 3DFX Interactive, you probably remember some of the graphics cards that they were making back in the 90s for PCs, at least if you're old enough for that. But nonetheless, this was kind of the beginning of the end for them. In spite of this contract with Sega, only would have been something like 3%, 4% of their business for that year. It's certainly hard not to just see the dominoes start falling as this goes sideways, and then Nvidia starts eating their lunch, and then just thing after thing goes wrong. So yeah, it was this week, the beginning of the end for 3DFX Interactive. And just as a brief aside, for those of you who are big anti-aliasing fans in your graphics, the chips, the structure that 3DFX Interactive used in their graphics cards were, at least at the time, much superior for rendering 3D environments with the bare minimum of anti-aliasing. But, you know, just a little bit of side, you know, nerdy trivia. Anyway, that has been history for this week and all the interesting things that came before.
Now it is time for our topic of the week. And Mac, last week I was so hyped to talk about the Steam Deck. Like, that was so fun to talk about. This week, I think I'm even more excited for the thing we're going to talk about, and I purposely did not tell you in advance so I can get your thoughts off the cuff. This is on GameSpot.com by Eddie Mackey. Topic: Mark Zuckerberg outlines his vision for a Ready Player One-like metaverse, and it sounds wild. Let's get into it. Mark Zuckerberg, like some in the gaming space, hold the belief that a so-called metaverse will become the next major internet innovation and push people forward into a new paradigm. Zuckerberg recently outlined his vision during a Facebook presentation, and he later confirmed the formation of a metaverse product group inside the social media company to support this ambition. Quote, "I believe the metaverse will be the successor to the mobile internet, and creating this product group is the next step in our journey to help build it," Zuckerberg said on Facebook. Zuckerberg told The Verge that the metaverse is not a project that any single company will build, but instead it will be a joint collaboration between companies, creators, and developers. But what actually is the metaverse? Zuckerberg said you can think of it like an embodied internet. So I'm going to read this last paragraph, and then we'll kind of talk about this. I love the comments in the chat. I freaking love it. I love it. I'm excited to read some of them. Quote, "Where instead of just viewing content, you are in it," he said, "and you feel present with other people as if you were in other places, having different experiences that you couldn't necessarily do on a 2D app or a web page, like dancing, for example, or different types of fitness." Mac, have you seen Ready Player One?
I have not.
Okay, but you know the general idea, right? Virtual reality world, it's like you're in the world. It's very realistic. You could spend hours and hours and hours in there. You can build relationships with people. You know, you have a character, but it's almost like you're living a second life. Mark Zuckerberg is taking steps towards making this in real life. He has a product group at Facebook that's working on it. Thoughts?
Okay, so I will say the one saving grace of this idea, there's not a lot that I like about it, but the admission that it's not something a single company is going to make. And I mean, I was ready because, like, I have no love for Epic, but they really cheesed me off when they wanted to talk about their Fortnite metaverse, and they talked all about that. They talked at that at great length in the legal filings, which I read and was annoyed by. So I've got a bad taste in my mouth already for metaverse. But additionally, I'm glad Zuckerberg doesn't think he's going to do it all himself. But also at the same time, this isn't... Is VR something that people want? Yes. Very often in small doses and in specific ways.
Right.
Is a more interactive experience something that people want? Absolutely. Is a unified system of VR stuffs and everything under an... No, nobody's really asking for a metaverse. And I don't think we want it in that way.
Like, watching Ready Player One, you see the kid, he puts on the headset. And the kid, like, in the movie, he kind of lives, like, in a rough place, you know. It's the future, but I think he's kind of poor. But this metaverse is so accessible that everyone's in it, right? And there's this game that everyone's trying to win. And you go into the world and you can be whoever you want, you know. And it's... to him in the movie and to his friends, like, it's super appealing. But I don't know if I like the idea of, like, okay, I'm gonna lay down and I'm gonna put this on and I'll be done, I think that that's a little bit too much. The main thing that concerns me about this is the privacy, because we've already seen how Facebook operates, right? They've already violated our privacy in so many ways, right? They say that you don't own the content you post, which means that if they create a metaverse, and granted multiple companies are working on it, but if they're a part of it, you're not gonna own your actions of whatever you do in there. Whatever you create is their property. They're tracking your every move. So I don't know. To me, that's just not something that I would want to do and that I want my kids to do. It's fun in concept, but when you really get down to the legal implications and the privacy, it's not.
I wasn't even thinking about privacy. I was so viscerally frustrated by the term metaverse. I think it knocked privacy completely out of my brain. But dude, I'm 100% there with you. Yeah, that's terrifying. And I mean, there's already enough biometric data that you don't own when you use it with various services. And I don't want to be giving any more of that.
Right. I mean, to the point that it's not even like, what websites did you go to or what did you buy, like, to target ads, but like to the point of like, okay, this person, you know, likes to do X, Y, or Z with their free time, right? It's just too much. It's just too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people go in and they think the internet's anonymous, and it is not anonymous, right? You know, so like, I just think that a lot of kids could get themselves in trouble with something like this. I'm talking like a dad right now. But you know, if I want to look at the positive, Mac, this is the future. It could be really, really fun. Like, think about, you know, we meet up every week and we do this pod. And then, you know, almost every week or every other week we meet up and we do GURPS. Imagine everyone having a GURPS or a VR headset in our GURPS group, and we get together and we go in. And instead of just role-playing and using our imagination, we're actually seeing everything.
Dude, that sounds like a whole heck of a lot of extra work on my hat.
For
on
you.
On
for
me
the, yes.
To set things up. But I mean, like, you know, if it weren't crazy intensive on my part, I can't even be bothered to do like proper stuff on Roll 20, man. I am not the person who's going to be swayed by put in more effort for a more immersive experience than that. I'm a lazy DM, but there are those out there who would love it, and I don't know, I think I'd enjoy staring at your avatar's mug. I think you'd make a beautiful nerdy avatar.
I would make a dope avatar. So I don't know. I like that people are innovating, to be clear. But we've already seen what Facebook did with Oculus, right?
Yeah.
They made it so that now if you buy an Oculus, you have to tie it to your Facebook account. And if you ever delete your Facebook account or if you use a fake one, you know, your thing is basically useless. They get rid of all your games, right? And I can't believe that this would be any different. So I'm for innovation, but I'm against this type of violation of privacy. And it seems like the chat agrees.
Yeah, I don't even see anybody who's even close to appreciative of what's going on.
Anyway, that has been our topic of the week. I'm going to follow this because I'm curious to see what he does.
Well, now we'll move on to Kick or Kickstart, a crowdfunding project that's trying to get off the ground. I will post a link in the chat. We'll discuss some of the virtues, the vices, and at the end we'll say whether or not we think it should be kicked out of here or whether it should be kickstarted. And this one comes to us courtesy of Mr. Nice Guy himself.
Oh!
Posting a link here in the chat. This is the Adapt Tabletop. Now, I've got to admit that this is not, strictly speaking, video game related. But if I'm entirely honest, there were few video games Kickstarters that I was more interested in than this. So, as of right now, I think they've broken the... you know, they've probably broken the 500,000, the half a million mark of their $10,000 goal for this. So what are we talking about? This happens to be a modular tabletop-y thing that you can sort of put together and have a raised platform on your tabletop when you're playing. There's lights, LED lights on the top. It's just a, you know, LED strip around it and on the bottom for lighting underneath. And yeah, so that's basically all there is to it. There are plenty of areas that you could make use of it. If you want to get in on it, you're basically looking at about 54 US dollars to get in on getting one modular system box, right? Which winds up being, hang on, how exactly big was that? Let's see, this is the second edition, blah blah blah, sorry, I should have been better prepared. The one single one is a modular LED system box. Okay, right, how big is it? 36 inches by
24,
yeah, is what it's looking like for a single one.
So 2 feet by 3 feet.
Yeah, 2 feet by 3 feet. And then it just goes up from there, adding additional ones. I think, you know, about $150 is where you get into the ones that I think most people are going to want if they're into this sort of thing. And this is their second version of the project, so they've obviously, you know, been at least somewhat successful with the first one. So I'm sure you can tell by my tone, I'm not especially excited about this for reasons, but, Mr. Nice Guy, I, you know, you threw this my direction. I feel like you might be a kinder than me, but please tell me your thoughts.
I didn't know that you were going to use this. I just sent this to you 'cause I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I feel like this combined, what I even said in our chat was this with a 3D printer would work out really, really well. It's funny, like, if you ever watch old infomercials on TV, they always, like, try to sell you a product based on stuff that could go wrong. But it's not likely to go wrong, right? Like, in this, they're like, hey, now you don't have to worry about...
dropping the pieces off the thing.
I know, yeah.
Spilling the water on your board game. Which, I mean, granted, that kind of stuff does happen and has happened in the past, but...
yeah. Yeah, how often? Like, if you drop the dice on the ground, you pick them up. Like, it's not that big a deal. So, I feel like in some ways they're trying to solve problems that really are not that big a deal. Like, having too little space for the tokens. Like, you just make it work. You know what I mean? The other thing I didn't like about this, I feel like I could, you know, just get a piece of wood or a big piece of plastic, put some legs on it, and get some LED lights, and boom, I've got this, right? Now, that said, I feel like them building it for you, they have a really, really reasonable price point for doing so. I guess if I could sum this up in one sentence, I like the idea, but I could DIY it. That's how I would describe this.
Dude, I'm 100% with you. And that was my real take home from this as well, was those like, hey, if I really felt strongly about having this exact thing, then yeah, I could DIY it easy. I could, you know, I mean, it's not that tough. And I feel a little bit insulted by the price point. I'm sure that there's a lot of work that's gone into this, that the materials are important, and that, you know, that they've sourced well for all these various things. But I don't believe that the amount of, and I feel really bad for saying this, but the amount of time, effort, and energy, design work, and iteration that has gone into this justifies what they're asking based on the materials. Because it's like, you know, any number of simple materials with a lot of time, effort, energy, and expertise can be turned into amazing things, right?
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, some of the time, what you're paying for when it's a simple thing, I mean, you know, a canvas and some acrylics, right? Any of us can throw some acrylic on a canvas. You know, someone with talent and practice can make a beautiful painting that you want to buy and hang and look at for years. There is some effort that goes into something that makes it more valuable, and I just don't see the value. I mean, I feel in some ways I can see the individual lights on the light strip. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's exactly. Not even a diffuser
right.
on it's... the light strip. And it's like, this feels unfinished to me. So anyway, I'm out. I say kick.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea, but I don't know, man. Like, once again, we've just gone through a global pandemic where so many people have found ways to play games separately. Like, I don't know, man. I can't see people showing up to the card shop with this. Being like, hey, guys, things are going to be more smooth tonight than they were before the pandemic. Like, I just don't think that's the case. So I see what you're doing, and I appreciate you, but I have to kick this as well. Mets Girl made a funny comment in the chat. She was like, so instead of spilling water on your cards, you spill it on the technology instead. Like, you buy this thing, and you spill your water all over it instead of the game, which is funny. And Spenis kicked this as well.
Spenis, I've had a chance to read your comment now, and yeah, we're all sort of in the same idea here. It looks like it's kicks around the board. Look, you know, best of luck to these guys. I mean, they don't need our votes. They've Game Start has already hit the 500,000 mark for something that, you know, they only said that they needed 10,000 to make it happen.
Now it is time for Nerdflex.
Woo-hoo.
A segment where you, the viewers, try to stump the host and you never quite do. And Mac, why don't you tell the people what we're doing differently?
Yeah, so we've got a special set of Nerdflex questions for this episode. The good folks over at Beholder's Eye podcast have thrown down the gauntlet. So let's see if we can answer their nerdy questions 3. So this first one.
Real quick before we get into their questions, are they in the podcast awards as well?
Yes. They are not in the podcast awards.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, no. I wish they were. I would have if they said that, but we are, so please vote for us. So this first one comes from Alex, the DM of the Beholder's Eye podcast. In Skyrim, there is a civil war raging. What was the name of the person Ulfric challenged and killed for leadership of Skyrim? Was it A, Prince Gellius Tyrrhenius, B, Angier the Greybeard, C, High King Toig, or Jarl of Solitude, or D, the Emperor Titus Mead II? I've never played Skyrim. I don't know.
All right, dude, it's been so long. Like, at least 8 years. Because I played it like around.
Well, I mean, why has it been 8 years? I mean, it was just released, what, last year on the PS?
To be fair, I did play a little bit of it on the Index, but it was more like, oh, I want to see what this is like. But it's been a long time since I actually played through the story. For real. I lean towards A. So here's the thing. To me, a civil war involves, like, leaders, right? It's gonna be like someone going up against a prince or a king or someone who's in charge. And so I don't know. We haven't locked in answers yet, so don't tell us what the answer is yet. I don't think Angier the Greybeard.
Okay.
I think it could be High King Torg, Jarl of Solitude, but that's a long name.
Could be an emperor.
It could be an emperor, dude. That's why this is
emperor, prince, or high king. If you have ruled out the Greybeard,
I'm gonna say I don't think it's C. I lean towards A. My first instinct is A.
Okay, and I have I have nothing to go on, so I'm 100% with you.
This is a good question.
It's a great question. I love it. It's a question about lore. It's nerdy. It's fantastic.
It is. Let's go with A. Final answer on this one.
A final answer. I'm ready for us to be wrong. Well, for you to be wrong. But for us to be wrong as a unit.
I'm ready to be wrong. Dang it.
The correct answer is C, High King Torig, Jarl of Solitude.
A was a person from Oblivion. Oh wow. Okay. See, now you should have known that. And you should have corrected me. Because you played Oblivion.
I have played an hour of Oblivion. That's right. All right. Second question. This one is from
Sam/Metz. Legend of Zelda, Navi is Link's helper and beloved companion. She could do all except one of the following. Focus on an enemy, help provide information about foes, carry extra items, or warn of danger.
I know the answer to this one.
I think we can get this. Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's C, carry extra items.
I think so too, because she was very informational. She'd always be like, hey, listen.
Hey, listen.
You know, and all that.
Link, watch out. Oh, no.
Watch out.
Hello.
And she'd be like, that is a mysterious frog. Mm-hmm. That frog comes from the land of da-da-da. Like, always giving information. So yep. I agree.
And she was responsible for the Z targeting. So, and turns out we are correct. The answer is C.
Awesome.
Woo-woo. All right.
1 for 2. Will they go 2 for 3? For all the marbles.
This final question from the Beholder's Eye crew is from Ben. Ben is responsible for the sound editing, like the background music and the sound effects on the show. Sam does the normal edits and the like. In Fallout 2, the map screen has 2 Star Wars, that's from 1997 Star Wars, references embedded into the Pip-Boy. Which ones are they? Are they A, L5, AA23, and C3PO? Are they B, DB94 and TK421? Are they C, TK421 and L5AA23? Or are they D, C3PO and DB94? Okay, so one of the things that is interesting is that George Lucas, he had names for everything, because George Lucas had full control over franchise rights and toys and things like that. And so if you're going to make a toy of something, it has to have a name. So he named every background character. C-3PO is a character name that I recognize, and it appears in two different of the questions. So I feel like A or D is where I'm leaning. And I feel like I've heard DB94 before, but I don't think I've heard L5AA23. So I'm leaning toward D. Mr. Nice Guy?
I feel like because C3PO is in two of the answers, that's one of those is the right answer.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, to be fair, L5 and TK421 appear in a couple different places as well. But I feel so much better about D.
Oh, you're right. L5 is in two of them.
Mm-hmm.
DB94. That's why it's so tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So here's why I lean towards one of the answers with C-3PO. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go. I think we should go with D.
Okay.
So are we going to D-final answer?
D-final answer.
Cool. The reason why is because a lot of those other ones are more obscure. C-3PO, like, everyone knows C-3PO, mm-hmm. right? So I feel like that would be, they'd give a nod to that.
Mm.
So I'm gonna go with
the correct answer is C. TK421 is the call sign of a stormtrooper who was ambushed aboard the Millennium Falcon when it was pulled into the Death Star. And L5AA23 is level 5 detention block AA23, where Leia was being held in the original Star Wars. That's fantastic. That is so nerdy, so niche. I love it.
That's cool.
And, you know, I think the important thing here is that we did not get completely stumped. We at least got one of them. Sure, Ryan may have got us and Ben may have gotten us, but Sam, Matt, thanks for the one that we knew.
That has been Nerdflex.
Well, now we turn to a little bit of legalese.
Legalese.
I'm glad that you brought up the Activision Blizzard issue in news.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that the question might fall to me, and people would be like, Mac, surely Mac is going to talk legalese about Activision Blizzard. And the answer is no, not really. And to echo your sentiments from earlier, Mr. Nice Guy, it's important, there's no doubt about it. But for one, it's an issue of bad company management and harassment. And number two, it's being covered in a lot of great legal depth in a lot of other places. To be clear, though, I feel like you can take a long walk off a short pier with that kind of nonsense against your employees. So, instead, let's take a look at Tencent, everybody's favorite company. We've mentioned it before. We discussed the Vanguard anti-cheat that Valorant was using as the topic of the week back in episode 135.
Yep.
A terrific discussion, worth a review. And in episode 152, we actually pointed out just how many video game companies are owned in whole or in part by Tencent, how they are everywhere. But Tencent has made an interesting claim in a, and I'm going to screw up the name, but in a Guangzhou internet court, specifically that they own digital stuffs. That could use some clarification. And to be fair, remember, I'm not even a lawyer in the United States, much less a lawyer in internet court in China. So, you know, grains of salt and forgiveness if I screw things up. So let me clarify. There is an online market for digital goods called DD373.com. And after Tencent realized that people were using that site to trade items from some of its games, they sued the market site for $6.2 million in, presumably, damages, right?
Sure.
Now, Tencent argues that virtual items, such as skins, weapons, and so on, are solely in-game items and have no actual value, and that the purchase of the in-game item amounts to people paying service charges, which is a weird and different way to look at it. While we've discussed ad nauseum in this space and on this show just how little companies have regard for your ownership of digital goods, this is one of the more unabashed and profound claims on virtual goods. We do not know yet how this will go down. I think they're set to have either our, you know, opening statements soon, or we're probably going to be waiting months for discovery and all that jazz, but it's fair to say that this could be a very interesting precedent set. And as Ishmobile points out rightly in the chat, $6.2 million in damages for the sale of virtual goods that have no value in real life is a little rich of a claim to be making, for sure. But nonetheless, if this winds up being an argument, a line of argument that is seen as holding water, that essentially the purchases that you make shouldn't give you any ability to trade or to turn around and sell the digital goods as if they were goods, if the first sale doctrine doesn't apply to digital goods, and that digital goods themselves are less of property and more of a service charge that you pay.
Can I add something to
Absolutely.
This? And this is a good discussion. So Mac, there is a cryptocurrency called Engine Coin. Mm-hmm. Symbol is ENJ, and I just pulled up the definition so that we can talk about this because it deals directly with what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Engine is a blockchain-based gaming platform that focuses on making player-owned digital items like NFTs, non-fungible tokens. They offer ways to create tokens that can be used across multiple video games and can also be used across various platforms from PC to mobile. Here's where it gets good. Engine NFTs allow players to have true item ownership of their in-game items and trade them with others inside and outside of the game. So basically, Engine Coin is a currency, and the symbol is ENJ, for those of you who are curious, that can be used to make people really have ownership of those in-game digital items. And so I feel like this relates directly to what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, the concept of having digital ownership is one of these things that, if Tencent gets their way, is something that winds up being even less firm, even less real than it once was. Which is why I'm very much rooting against this, obviously. I feel like, you know, I don't want to be... Metz Girl has strong feelings about blockchain, and very understandable. But I'm with you, Metz Girl. But I am someone who likes the idea of being able to own digital goods just like we can own physical goods. I mean, I went on a prolonged rant from episode, I guess, 189 to 193 about, you know, just how that gets us into trouble, the non-ownership of digital goods, specifically video games. And this feels to me like the throwing a rock down down a mountainside and just waiting for the boulders to start rolling at the bottom. So, yeah. I mean, I hope this does not go that way. I hope that what we see is that this reasoning go the opposite way, because, you know, it's not a far jump from in-game items to in-game currencies to in-game this to just games in general. And it's already sort of on a precipice in the first place. Anyway, that's not law. It's just a little bit of legalese.
Fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so hyped for the post show because we're going to keep talking about this. We have one last segment before we go called What We've Been Watching and What We've Been Playing, where we talk about just that, the cool, nerdy stuff we've been into. If you're here live, you got a job to do. Let us know in the chat what games you've been playing, what shows you've been watching. Mac, what you been into this week, man?
Well, I've mostly just been watching The Expanse and a bit of Schitt's Creek. I do quite enjoy that show. And yeah, that's about it. I've been playing a little bit of Chasm, and then I've just been packing up the house. So, not a lot to share this week, but, well, I mean, of course, you know, a little bit of Dungeons & Dragons, a little bit of GURPS, some tabletop, that's fantastic and fun, but that's about it for
me. We playing this week?
I sure hope so.
I hope so, too.
I mean, last week was fire, but...
Yeah, did you and... We'll talk about
it. Yeah, we'll talk later.
You guys squatted up and did something.
Yeah.
Cool. As far as what I have been watching and playing, dude, Tony Hawk Pro Skater has my heart right now, man. I love that remake. It is so good. It's so good. As far as single player stuff, I picked up Borderlands 3. And Mac, lately, I've just needed like just games where I'm just running around shooting stuff, and just dumb fun. You know, good sense of humor. Just not too much strategy. I've really been enjoying that. Having a blast with it. As far as what I've been watching, trying to finish up Loki. I'm trying to get done with that. And watching The Mysterious Benedict Society with my kids on Netflix. That show is brilliant. Like, there's not many shows that I could, like, really get into that are also shows that I would enjoy watching. And this is that show. Like, the acting is really good. The guy who's playing two roles, like, it's just a brilliant show. It's almost like a Harry Potter type of show, but the kids aren't, like, terrible actors. And it's just, it's really good. Like, I feel like it should have been a book first. And that's it for me. What about, oh yeah, I did squad up with Spanis to play THPS. But anyway, what are the people into in the chat?
Well, let's see. Metzgirl's watching Lucifer. Buster Rhydon is watching new Masters of the Universe. Apparently it is dope. Spanis the Menace is watching Hell's Kitchen, College Bowl, and MLB Baseball. Galvatron's been watching the Olympics and has a different opinion on Masters of the Universe. Has been watching Snake Eyes, and Apocalypse Now. And Ishmael has been watching Shameless and Dairy Girls.
I forgot to mention I've been watching some stand-up shows too. Oh. I've been watching Hacks on HBO Max. It's pretty good. As far as what people have been playing. Spenis playing MLB, not surprised. He loves that show. It'll be the show. Sackboy and Pokemon Unite. My kids have been playing that. It looks like fun. He did play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 with me. We had a blast playing that. Metzgirl's playing Stardew Valley, Skyrim, Minecraft, D&D, and GURPS. Galvatron. He's playing Tesla Force, Injustice 2, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Ishmobile is playing Half-Life Alyx, Community Maps, Insurgency Sandstorm, and Cave Blazers. Mac, why don't you take us home, man?
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming around. It's been fantastic. Special thanks to the crew of Beholder's Eye Podcast, a 5th edition actual play podcast, for providing Nerdflex today. Y'all have been fantastic. This wouldn't be the same show without you. Be excellent to each other, and come on back next week, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/2nerdsinapod. In the meantime, keep it nerdy. Bye.